Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world, and whatever it is you're doing as you tune in, I'd like to welcome you to Rampton's Radio, Random Ramblings, recorded at Rampton's Road, where it's currently raining. And I don't have a professional recording studio, so you can probably hear it. In this episode, I'm going to talk about why I think the first rule in Ultimate Frisbee can change the world. As many of you know, 5 years ago, I fell in love with Mish. And as is well documented when someone enters a new relationship, the dynamics of their existing relationships are, shall we say, massively disrupted, because the time and space taken up by the new relationship exacts, you know, a toll on the incumbent relationships and habits and hobbies of a person who suddenly has a lot less available time. And I know for certain that in the last 5 years, I've drifted further away from a lot of relationships in my life that are actually really important to me, which is entirely my own fault, of course. And it's something that I'm hoping to address this year. So, as you know, 5 years ago, I fell in love with Mish. And most of you probably also realize that I almost simultaneously fell in love with a sport, Ultimate Frisbee. And so what you may not realize is that one of the reasons I've had kind of less time for the hobbies and activities and friendships of my previous life is due to the amount of time and like emotional energy, I guess, that I've committed to playing Ultimate, which has become really a surprisingly central component, not just of my life, but actually of my identity. Ultimate has really become part of who I am. And as a result, I feel like something of an evangelist for the sport. I genuinely believe that Ultimate Frisbee offers something that no other sport that I've been introduced to has ever offered. It's about more than fun, it's about more than fitness, it's about more than athleticism, it's about more than teamwork, more than camaraderie. There's an aspect to Ultimate which, at least in my experience, is unique to the sport and, frankly, represents the pinnacle of what sport is really all about. The first rule in Ultimate Frisbee is called Spirit of the Game. And I'll read out the entire like first chunk of the rules here. Ultimate is a non-contact, self-refereed sport. All players are responsible for administering and adhering to the rules. Ultimate relies upon a spirit of the game that places the responsibility for fair play on every player. It is trusted that no player will intentionally break the rules. Thus, there are no harsh penalties for inadvertent breaches, but rather a method for resuming play in a manner which simulates would have most likely have occurred had there been no breach. Players should be mindful of the fact that they are acting as referees in any arbitration between teams. Players must know the rules, be fair-minded and objective, be truthful, explain their viewpoint clearly and briefly, allow opponents a reasonable chance to speak, resolve disputes as quickly as possible using respectful language, make calls in a consistent manner throughout the game, and only make a call where a breach is significant enough to make a difference to the outcome of the action. Highly competitive play is encouraged, but should never sacrifice the mutual respect between players, adherence to the agreed upon rules of the game, or the basic joy of play. So this is me again now. So Spirit of the Game, I think, is really a codification of something that exists in recreational sport at many levels organically. For many years, my brother Cam organized Super Sunday Soccer, right, where 6 to 16 friends would meet at the park with 4 stolen traffic cones to serve as the goals, and without a referee, this game of soccer would ensue. And the rules were understood by all the players and enforced by all the players, and any disputes were resolved through mediation and discussion rather than via the dictation of some appointed third-party authority, right, a referee. And that is how kids naturally play games, right? They don't have referees or authority figures to enforce the rules of whatever they invent. You just invent a game, you agree upon the rules, and you play. And then any time the game turns out not to be fun, you just adjust the rules until everybody's enjoying themselves. And yet, adults are strangely, I don't know, like we've forgotten that this is possible. It's completely inexplicable. For some reason, adults seem to think that the application of the rules must be made by some objective third party whose role it is to be the arbiter of the truth, right? There's no room for discussion, explanation, no room for nuance or perspective. Nobody else has any say as to the rightness or wrongness of any action taken on the field. It's just the referee sees it and they make the call. Super Sunday soccer worked perfectly well without a referee. But once the outcome matters, right, for some reason, adults consider this style of play untenable. And they require an umpire or a referee who's there to adjudicate proceedings. And Ultimate Frisbee disagrees, basically, with that idea. And it takes one small step, which in my opinion represents a quantum leap. Ultimate says that everybody on the field is trustworthy, that everybody on the field has a valid perspective, and that everybody on the field can have the authority to officiate the game to the best of their ability. And this has far deeper ramifications than you might expect. The culture of Ultimate is unlike the culture of any other sport that I've ever witnessed. I actually love the game of soccer. Like, I understand why it's called the beautiful game. The way the play evolves, the skill of the players. I think soccer is near to the pinnacle in terms of the actual kind of construction of a sport. But I just cannot stand the culture of it. Defenders routinely just deliberately deliver illegal tackles on Neymar, he's Brazilian, I think. Because if they don't, he's going to beat them because he's insanely good. If they don't just chop him down, he's going to get past them. He's probably going to score. And so they think, oh, well, better to chop him down than let him get through. Which, that to me just seems like cheating, isn't it? Like, you know it's against the rules, but you do it anyway. That's cheating, right? And then in return, Neymar is in this almost like comical constant state of simulated agony as he pretends to have been fouled every 3 seconds, hoping to milk a penalty kick from the referee. Because, you know, that apparently is the only way that he can win. And so top-level soccer, to my eyes, is a beautiful game just destroyed by this constant spectre of, like, outright obvious cheating. Aussie rules football. I absolutely love Australian football. And I absolutely loathe the way that footballers behave and treat each other on the field, especially. When you're playing footy, apparently your goal is to do everything you possibly can to make your opponent's life as awful as possible. Like, you see it in the AFL, they punch each other behind the play, they say awful things. In the last game of organised football that I played, which, might I say, was B grade over 35s, which is pretty much the worst standard of football that you can play above, like, under 12s. And in the last game of that I played, a 37-year-old man called me a cunt incessantly for 2 whole hours, and then every time the ball came near us, he would dive forward to try and get a free kick for a push in the back, which wasn't actually present. Like, I love footy, and I love hanging out with Cam, who I would go and play with, but I just thought, fuck this. I'm not wasting my Saturdays doing this. Like, this is it's just stupid. And look, like, there are examples of real sportsmanship, of course, all across the sporting world. Remember that American tennis player? I think his surname's Dick, actually. But that American tennis player that said to Leighton Hewitt he should challenge a call because he was pretty sure that that the ball was in when the umpire had called it out, and Leighton would be the beneficiary of it. And, like, Adam Gilchrist would leave the crease in cricket when he knew he was out, but even before he was told by the umpire. Like, that is, in a sense, a spirit of the game. But even that in professional cricket, and probably as a result in grade level cricket, is fading away from the sport. And in ultimate, acts of integrity like that occur not just regularly, but constantly. Acts of integrity like that are par for the course. They're not some remarkable moment to be celebrated as like an incredible pinnacle. They're just a central component of every single game. And so, okay, you might be wondering, well, how does that work? How do you officiate a game without a referee? So basically, there's 7 players on a team on the field at any given moment, and anybody who's on the field and playing is a referee. So nobody who's off the field can make a call. And ultimate is basically a possession game. You're really playing keepings off, and one team is trying to keep possession of the disc and the other team is trying to get it, and you score by catching it in an end zone, and you're not allowed to run while holding the frisbee. So like netball, as soon as you receive it, you have to stop as quickly as you can. It's a non-contact sport, and there's really not that many there's not that many rules to know, but essentially the big ones are, you know, don't create contact with someone, that's a foul. Don't run with the disc, that would be a travel, that's a violation. So basically, if you see something as a player, you see something that happens on the field that you believe is a breach of the rule, you can essentially signal a foul. So a referee would blow a whistle, you just call out loudly, foul or violation, you wave your hands in the air, you make it clear that play stopped, and then you say, hey, I think that was a travel, or I think that was a foul, or whatever. And importantly, what then happens is the person who you're kind of calling the breach on, they get to share their perspective. So you can say to them, hey, I think when you caught the disc, you actually had a foot out of bounds, for example. And you say that to the person, I think when you caught the disc, your foot was out of bounds. And good spirit is to let them share their perspective. So they might say, hey, like, yeah, I reckon it was really close. But from my perspective, I know that I had my right foot up off the ground when I caught the disc, and that it then landed out of bounds. So from my perspective, I believe I caught the disc and then I was out of bounds. And their description may convince the person who originally called the foul, and they may say, oh, actually, yep, okay, no worries, and they retract the call, and then play just resumes. On the other hand, the person who called the foul may, their description may convince the person who committed it to say, yep, actually, I think you agree, I probably was out of bounds in this case, and then it's a turnover, or those two players might disagree, even if they consult some other, they can consult other people around them. Hey, did you get a good view of that? What did you think? And they may eventually essentially agree to disagree, and we try to keep that happening in under 45 seconds. And if there's a what's called a contested call, essentially what you do is you just rewind the play by one throw. So everybody goes back to where they were when the previous throw happened, and then once everybody's ready, you count the disc in, 3, 2, 1, bang, play restarts, and off you go. And that's pretty much it. And it happens at this level everywhere from just a, you know, simple pickup game where you get a bunch of people in the park playing right up to world champs. And like, I think it's worth knowing, this actually comes pretty naturally to people. This isn't some radical idea. Like, we do this all the time in informal games of sport that are organized between friends. It's not like this magical process that requires years of training. You understand implicitly how to play a game in the right spirit. And what Ultimate does is empowers you to play with integrity and to trust and respect that you're opponent will do the same, whether it's a pickup game or world championship or world games, and I would think sometime in probably the next 2 or 3 Olympics, even at Olympic level. At no point do we add a referee. At no point are the players no longer trusted to apply the rules and to play and officiate the game with integrity. And my favorite example of this happened, I know that I said this happens all the time, it's not a pinnacle moment, but there is this kind of pinnacle moment of it that really sticks in my memory that happened at the under 24 World Championships maybe 2 or 3 cycles ago, so probably 4 years ago. And it was a semi-final, so whoever wins this game is going to the final, has a chance at the gold medal. It's between men under the age of 24. So pretty much this is the pinnacle of hot-headed, kind of self-righteous, self-entitled. Like if there's a group of people who are less likely to play with integrity than 18 to 23-year-old men, I don't know who it would be. And it's between Japan, who's a noted ultimate powerhouse, and Austria, who had never reached a semi-final in any division of ultimate ever before. So this is the best performance of any Austrian team in the history of the sport. And there's this thing that happens in ultimate when you get towards the end of a really close game where it's literally next goal wins. It's called universe point. So the teams are tied, and whoever scores next is going to win the game. And Japan and Austria were on universe point in the game to go to the final at the World Championships. Like, this is as significant as it gets for someone for whom this sport is their life. And as I said, ultimate's a game of possession, and one of the ways you can lose possession is if the disc touches the ground. And Japan is starting the point with possession. And generally speaking, teams don't lose possession. It's like ultimate is a game of keepings off, and people who are at world championship level are very, very good at maintaining possession of the disc. So if you start a point with the disc, you're probably going to score. So Japan is absolutely in the box seat to win this game, and Austria has to get the disc off them to win. And there's a throw from one of the Japanese players to another player that is extremely low to the ground. And the rule is that if the disc touches a single blade of grass, it's down, and that's a turnover. And one of the Austrian players calls down. This is in universe point at the World Championships to go to the final, to put in the best performance of anyone from your country ever has before. And the moment that one of the Austrian players calls down, the moment that he calls down, two other players on his team who had a better perspective, so a better view of the disc, two other players within half a second immediately call, no, that was up, not a turnover, Japan keeps the disc. In less than a second, in less time that you can think, gee, maybe I could let that foul call stand and then we might get the disc and we could win this game, right? It was an instinctive, immediate reaction, because the culture of ultimate is that you do not cheat. You do not break the rules, and you officiate to the best of your ability and with integrity. And instantly, these two Austrian players wave off the foul, say to their teammate, nope, sorry, don't think you were correct. We both believe that disc was up. Their teammate does the right thing. He calls... he retracts the call, play continues, Japan scores, and Austria are out of the World Championships. It's pretty remarkable to see that for people who commit really like their lives to playing this sport, to just instantly do the right thing. It's incredible. So as I said earlier, ultimate takes a small step, which I think represents an absolutely quantum leap. The small step is making each player the umpire, making everybody the referee. The small step says, we trust that no matter what the stakes of the game are, you will play with integrity and honesty and for the basic joy of the game. And the quantum leap is what that small step evolves to in long periods of time, over long periods of time. In soccer, one expects not to trust their opponent. One actually expects their opponent to cheat. Right, like in soccer, you actually expect your opponent to try to trick the umpire into making a ball a bad call. That's actually woven into the fabric of the culture and the fabric of the game. And for me at least, that makes the game just completely unenjoyable to play. I don't like cheating. I don't like losing because the other team cheated, and I certainly have no interest in winning by cheating. But because the other team is just expected to be dishonest, as a result, the likelihood of you winning any game when you're unwilling to cheat is vastly reduced, right? And so if you're not willing to cheat, well, you're probably going to lose. But in ultimate, the expectation is that you will play fairly. The expectation is that you will play with integrity. It's not even an expectation. There's a belief. There's a shared belief among everybody playing the game that their opponent wouldn't and won't cheat. And it completely transforms every experience and every interaction that you have in the game. It's trivially easy, funnily enough, to cheat in Ultimate. There is nothing in the rules that can stop you from cheating. If you want to call a foul, when you know in your heart that there wasn't one present, you can. And nobody can prevent you from, like, maintaining or holding that foul call. But, like, just like playing a computer game with cheat codes, you know when you play a computer game but you can't die? It's just really boring. Playing Ultimate as a cheat would be really boring. Because there's nothing stopping you from winning the game through dishonesty. I mean that quite literally. You could win every single game you ever played, if you wanted, just by being dishonest. And in my experience, nobody ever does that. Like, I can count, not just on one hand, but probably a couple of fingers, the number of occasions where I've kind of suspected that someone was intentionally making a bad call. And this is among thousands and thousands of individual moments of gameplay that I've witnessed. I've seen hundreds, probably, I don't know, maybe 1,000 foul calls? I'm not sure. I didn't do the maths before starting this little treatise. But out of, say, 1,000 foul calls, I think maybe one or two were dealt with in a way that I thought at the time potentially lacked integrity, on one side or the other, making the call or contesting it. So the quantum leap that this small step creates is how this alters you as a person. How it alters your belief in, like, just the common goodness of humanity, and how it alters the way that you interact with other people, and how it alters the way that you approach disagreements and differences in opinion and differences in perspective, and your ability to resolve conflict and listen to someone who you're actually predisposed to disagree with, right? Like, it's funny, even now, I've played for, I don't know, like 5 years now. Even now, someone makes a foul call against you, you feel this reaction in you like, no, that's not true. And then you listen to them and you go, oh, okay, yeah, maybe that did happen. It is my sincere belief that playing Ultimate Frisbee makes people better people. And I will, I think, until the day I die, be an evangelist for this sporting movement. And if you have any inclination to play a sport that's fast-paced, super challenging, and heaps and heaps and heaps of fun, surrounded by a bunch of absolutely amazing people, this is the sport to play. It is amazing. And if you're interested in getting involved, seriously, get in touch, ramblinsradio@gmail.com. I will put in whatever effort it takes to help get you started, because Ultimate has given so much to my life that I'm just massively grateful for it, and I would love anyone else to experience the same. Cheers, peeps. See you soon.